Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have Glenn Howerton. You know him from Always Sunny, one of the funniest shows. If not, yeah, you could put it as the funniest show if you want to.
I would say it's definitely top three funniest shows of the last 15 years.
Always Sunny at his peak goes toe-to-toe with any show.
Agreed.
Ever. So we have him on the show, Dennis Reynolds, if you don't know his character name. We have NFL football week two, preview of the entire slate, fantasy fuckboys, a little playoff basketball, a little bigger than Ben. It's a fucking packed Friday show, and it's all brought to you by our friends at...
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one, with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
And let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to the ASPCA. Today is Friday, September 18th. It's Barstool Sports Book App Day.
That's right. The app is coming out, what, around noon?
Afternoon. Let's say afternoon, because we got one last meeting that needs to take place. But go download it. It will be live for everyone who lives in Pennsylvania, all you AWLs. So afternoonish. If you follow all of our social medias, we will make a big announcement. We also...
What if you don't live in Pennsylvania?
Well, you can still download it. You can still download it. You can still look at it. Or you can download the Barstool Free Play
app. So it still has all the lines and
stuff.
Has
all the lines. And this whole team, minus Billy, no offense, Billy, but it's just the truth, will be in Philadelphia on Sunday.
That's right.
Live streaming.
City of Brotherly Love.
Yes. All no offense day to Earl Thomas. Butter. All day long, and we got some new bets that we're going to talk to in our NFL preview. Okay, so Barstool Sportsbook App Day is today. Again, download it sometime in the afternoon. Get ready. It's exciting.
I used to laugh at Big Cat when he would say that he has spent his entire life losing at gambling in service of a greater purpose, where he will eventually win. And I think this is the beginning of that, where like you have experienced so much loss as a gambler that now you get to experience the upside of still losing as a gambler, but also
winning
as a gambler.
Responsible gambling is the name of the game, though. Everyone be responsible. Bet within your means. It's for entertainment. I love it. I will be a proponent of it, but do it responsibly. Yes, my face is on like the top of it on a banner, and when I first saw that, I almost cried.
What's funny,
I was like,
is
I have reached my peak.
There are a lot of obviously like gambling websites and apps out there, and they have people that are making picks telling you what they think the best options are, and you have no idea if they're winners or losers in their past. With us, you know that we lose a shitload of our bets. It's actually way more honest that way.
This Thursday night game, which I want to talk about something else before we talk about the Thursday night game, but this Thursday night game is a perfect example. I said pregame, I love the under, and if I love the under, it will absolutely go over.
I intentionally did not bet the over 3.5 field goals.
Should have done it.
Fat Randy prop. We'll get to him in a little bit.
Fat Randy. All right, but before we do that, let's talk a little playoff basketball.
It's a football. We're a football show.
Yeah, I know. But hold on, Hank. We are a football show.
Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield.
But when have
you
we
guys don't ever, care about them?
You just let me finish.
Fine.
When have we ever done a show after two people in the room attended a playoff basketball game. PFT and Hank were at, or sorry, PFT and Jake were at the game tonight.
Yeah, it was electric. You talk about a bubble atmosphere. No disrespect to families, but I don't think I'm ever going to leave that bubble.
Mm-hmm. And how many sons did you suck off?
spell sons. Spell sons before I answer that question. I sucked off zero sons, zero daughters.
Okay.
It was just an electric atmosphere in there. There's nothing else
we
to
have
say.
To
I was
sing.
Next to Billy the Marlin, which was a dream of mine, obviously. My only regret is I didn't get dressed up as Marlin's man.
AWL JP was the one who made things happen. So big shout out to him.
How much of that win do you think was attributable to us being at the game, bringing our energy? Meanwhile, Hank was not in attendance, and his Celtics really seemed to suffer a letdown in the second
half.
And
I had to fucking watch Big Cat. You weren't even there for this. I had to watch because they were watching it. They were 20 seconds ahead, and so PFT was doing the thing where he was like, oh, no, don't watch this, Hank. Don't watch this.
He
you don't want to see
twice,
this.
Twice, and then
that's so mean.
Tone it down. No. Fourth quarter,
I was being honest.
There was nothing going on. It was actually Billy who...
Oh, that's so mean. That's so mean.
I was being honest.
Oh, Jake.
Because I told Donnie's Hank not to watch when there was an injury.
Okay.
And I didn't want him to have to see
that's
that.
Good.
So that's good. I was trying to do him a favor.
All right.
They are down 2-0, Hank.
Yeah.
And credit to us for not starting the show by saying the Boston Celtics are dead. 2-0 is not an insurmountable lead by any stretch of the imagination. If they play like they did tonight in the second half, it definitely is beyond the stretch of, you know, it's beyond their own possibility.
Hank, how are you feeling? Honest.
I feel terrible. The second half of the game, they did the zone defense thing again. Celtics just played
Spoelstra
absolutely terrible.
Is out coaching Brad Stevens.
Yeah, they had absolutely no good looks the entire second half. The Heat were just doing whatever they wanted to. But after the game, I was bummed out. Then it came out that the Celtics had like a little players only meeting. They were throwing shit around. There was a lot of reports of screaming, yelling,
like a fight.
Shit crashing.
Yeah,
but
they had a fight.
When
Marcus
all them,
Smart just threw everything.
Yes, but when they all came out and did their press, they were like, you know, we're all good. It's all family. Like, it's that type of thing where hopefully it's one of those players only meeting that turns the season around and not like they just quit.
Uh-huh.
Because they all came out, were like, oh no, it's all love. It's all family. Like, sometimes disagreements happen within families. So I'm just trying to spin that positively, but yeah, I don't feel great.
I'd imagine they started like getting upset, and they're like, "Fuck, man, this sucks." And Marcus Smart, like, maybe someone throws like kicks a chair, and then Marcus Smart just grabs his sledgehammer that he's been saving in his locker room and or his locker, and just starts smashing everything inside.
Yeah, he's just
like, let's do it.
You remember that episode of The Office when Kevin and his brother had to sell the jet skis?
Yes.
And Kevin's or was it,
no Roy. Roy. Yeah.
Roy's brother walks in and sees people just smashing shit. He's like, "Oh, we're doing this?
Yeah,
it's on. I've been waiting to throw this,
that was Marcus
this
Smart.
Pint glass against the window." Yeah. So Hank, let me ask you a very serious question. If the Celtics lose game 3, is Brad Stevens coaching for his job?
No.
Mm.
But technically, yeah, he is.
I wasn't going to say that, Hank. I'm being serious. Is Brad Stevens on the hot seat right now?
No.
If they get swept?
No.
No, he's not on the hot seat.
It's not a real season.
I have a question.
It's a bubble.
If they were to get swept, or say they lose in 5, are we, at this point...
Jason Tatum is 22, Jalen Brown's 23. They're still very young. They're still very young.
Are we sure the Heat might not just win the NBA championship?
I've thought about it.
What the fuck?
I've considered
it. The Heat have lost one time in the
once.
Finals.
Once.
Now,
once.
Just
one game.
And that was when Giannis went out and they didn't know how to play defense.
Right. Out of coincidence, I've been tweeting out updated Jimmy Butler power rankings after every win that they have.
He better get to one.
I just looked at the remaining schedule. If the Heat win the NBA championship, Jimmy Butler will be the number one NBA player.
That's what we do every summer.
Let's go.
Kawhi was number one for a while.
Yeah.
LeBron's been number one.
J-Butt. And I know you think that I'm being a little bit of a troll with the Jimmy Butler love.
Oh, for sure
I actually really like Jimmy Butler a lot. I've pulled a 180. Credit to me for appreciating Jimmy Butler and loving it. You know what? I needed the bubble. I needed Jimmy Butler's bubble mentality to just come out, smack me in my face, and slap some sense into me. But I actually really do like Jimmy Butler now.
Okay.
You're wearing his jersey.
I'm wearing his shirt right now. I spent all this money on a Jimmy Butler jersey.
He's very, very good. All right. So that is our NBA talk. Okay, Hank?
Okay.
You good?
Yeah.
Let's talk some football. Fucking shootout tonight. I'm declaring this Browns-Bengals game, both teams won.
Yeah.
The Browns won, saved their season. They needed a win. They needed to look good after, I mean, they played the Ravens. The Ravens are fucking awesome. And the Bengals, confirmed, have their guy, which is the greatest feeling in all of football when you can say to yourself, we've got our guy.
Yeah, Joe Burrow looks awesome out there.
Joe Butler.
Joe Burrow looks really good out there. And, yeah, you're right. They can lose every game this season as long as Joe goes out and throws, you know, like 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 300 yards. I think Bengals fans will be like, yeah, we weren't going to win anything this year no matter what. I'm declaring that the winner of this game gets to claim the color orange in the NFL. So okay. It looks like that's going to be the Browns right now.
The Bengals are going for an all-time backdoor cover here. We'll see if they can get it. So we're watching the last minute and a half. We also had Joe Buck tears. Joe Buck in the Hall of Fame.
David Baker showed up.
Dude, David Baker, this is going to date us, but he's the Jerry Maguire, you know, the interviewer who would make everyone cry.
Yeah, like,
he just goes around making dudes cry.
Like Barbara Walters back in the day, when he shows up, the waterworks, they're going to start to flow with somebody. I like how Troy Aikman was there to be kind of the shoulder that Joe Buck leans on when he finds out he's making it to the Hall of Fame. I'd just like to say, Joe, if you don't have your induction ceremony speaker picked out, we'll do it. Yeah. I don't think we have anything going on that weekend. We'll have to check the schedule.
Slash Joe, make sure the fucking plugs look good that day, because there'll be a lot of picks.
Also, man card, Joe. You cried on national TV. A disgusting act.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Can't show that type of weakness, Skip Bayless. Okay. Let's do our weekend preview. We'll go through all of the games rapid fire, tell you what we think, and then we have some picks as well. We are brought to you by Pepsi. Oh, no. All right. We're brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, but Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it and is the refreshment you need to power through game day. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. I'm going to be drinking some Pepsi on Sunday. We don't drink beers when we got a show. It's also September. I think we've all reached our maximum. So we're going to Pepsi it up. We're going to be Pepsi. We're the Pepsi boys.
That's right.
The Pepsi boys all fall long because Pepsi is a great sponsor, and Pepsi is the sponsor of this show and the sponsor of the Pro Football Football Show and the sponsor of football watchers everywhere.
Also, they work with Cardi B. So is Pepsi O'Carr? Yeah.
Yeah, it's that's O'Carr. Such a great, great commercial. All right, so Pepsi, we love you. Okay. Let's do it. Let's go rapid fire. We'll go through the games. Say whatever you think. Anyone can chime in, and then we will get to our picks. Joe Burrow, backdoor cover. Nope, not. No, nope. We're still waiting for it. Giants at Bears.
Bears are back. I'll say it for you. I think that the Bears win this game by 10 points.
I'm very nervous for this game, but I'm nervous for every Bears game. I am nervous because, like I said on Sunday, the Lions... It was more about the Lions' implosion than the Bears. So we'll see. This is a big Mitch momentum game.
Also,
if he can do well here, then the real feelings
if
start.
If Mitch throws every pass like he threw that touchdown pass in the fourth quarter, then I think the Bears have a real chance here. Also, Giants coming off a short week. Tell yourself that. Ooh. Remind yourself of that. Big
yes.
Catch. Short week.
Short week.
Joe Judge looked like he was in a little bit over his head.
Yep.
A lot of extra laps were ran after that. I wish that they kept the camera on the field after that game to see if he did the old miracle on ice, made his players do wind sprints on the field after the game.
Yes.
Would not put it past Joe Judge really to do anything. I don't necessarily think that he's sane, but I think that he's a football coach.
He is a big-time football coach. So that this will determine my happiness for a while here because, like I said, if the Bears play well and Mitch plays well, I will be full-on believer mode. Falcons-Cowboys, this actually kind of is our Loser Leaves Town game of the week. Because, PFT almost.
Joe Burrow with backdoor cover. There we go.
Backdoor cover.
There we go,
Bengals
Joe.
Bet looks impossibly smart. We got to wait for the confirmation.
That looked good from here, Big Cat. I'm going to call it. I'm going to say those points
are going to
stand.
Give me the eyes. Give me the eyes.
Two hands on the ball. 1 foot down.
Second
foot. 2 foot down.
This is electric radio.
And he holds on to it, maintains it.
If you
through
have
the
six,
he
exactly
survives the ground, Big Cat.
In the hands of Fat Randy on the
oh my God, Fat Randy! We didn't even mention Fat Randy, the comeback story of the year.
Yeah,
3 for 3.
He might win comeback player of the year after that injury week one.
After
and going 3 for 3,
after both those injuries.
Yes,
I think that Fat Randy overcame more tonight than Willis Reed ever dreamt of.
Yes,
just an insanely gutty performance from
Dude,
our guy.
This is going to be electric, oh God, Fat
Randy.
Randy fucks
point.
Me. You fat fuck. You better fucking hit this. Oh my God. Fat Randy.
Snap is good. The hold is good. The kick
oh.
is good. That could not have been more down the middle. That he split the uprights like it was a wishbone.
Never a doubt, baby. Never a doubt. I'm going to remind me. So, Billy, remind me after the show. I got to go retweet everyone who called me an idiot for betting on the Bengals.
Okay.
But all right, yeah. So Falcons-Cowboys.
Falcons-Cowboys.
Loser-leaves-town game.
The exact same team playing against each other. The Falcons, as 100%. We said, they are the turbo Cowboys. They're everything that the Cowboys are, but just magnified.
Oh, I actually think maybe the Cowboys are the turbo Falcons.
You think they flipped it on
yes,
us?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so this game yeah. is the battle of who's the Cowboys and who's the Falcons.
Right.
So if the Falcons lose in like a 30-27 game, I'm going to say that the Falcons become the Cowboys and the Cowboys become the Falcons.
And if the Cowboys lose like 42-32, the Cowboys are now the Falcons.
Yes.
And the Falcons are the Cowboys.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we'll find out on Sunday who becomes the Falcons and who is the Cowboys. I'm done with the Falcons.
No, you're not.
Yep.
We go through this every single year.
I am
you
done.
Cannot quit. Verbal meme, Brokeback Mountain poster, Big Cat saying to the Dirty Bird,
hey, guys,
I can't
Bengals
quit you.
Bengals could still win.
No, Billy. Come on. Learn football, dude.
Billy doesn't
okay,
know
football. Okay, now
they can't. Yeah. All right. Lions-Packers. This is all about the Lions, like whether they have any cornerbacks or not. If their cornerbacks are healthy, they could maybe have a puncher's chance. If they don't, Aaron Rodgers is going to have another unbelievable game. And Aaron Rodgers, is Aaron Rodgers the pettiest person in the world? The fact that he's going to probably be, he's going to have an MVP year just because they drafted Jordan Love. And I've already heard the take that the Packers, a real, not joking take, that the Packers drafted Jordan Love knowing that it got them a better Aaron Rodgers.
To light a fire under
right.
him. I would say that's not
They should have just
far
not
off.
Drafted anyone.
That's not far off. It's not just the fact that they drafted Jordan Love, the fact that they did not draft him a wide receiver.
Right.
But like we've said, this is petty Aaron Rodgers, where if he has great wide receivers all around him, I think he actually performs better with no-name guys, because then it's like, oh, look what Aaron Rodgers is doing again with these same undrafted or late-round pick wide receivers. Isn't he just the greatest? That's
right.
The narrative that starts up
right.
around him. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers possibly, I'd say he's in the running, maybe with our boss. For one of the pettiest revenge
yeah.
grudge people of all
yeah.
time.
Imagine Aaron Rodgers has a champagne bottle for Jordan Love sitting in his locker room.
Yeah.
In his locker. I've done that twice today. In his locker, and Jordan Love just has to stare at it every day. Why is my name on that champagne bottle?
Yeah.
When you die,
I will
pop this.
I would not be surprised if he did. So I think that the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour against his own team continues.
It really is, though, just the injury report. If Galladay plays, difference. Galladay out and both of their and all their cornerbacks out, this is not even going to be a close game.
Mm-hmm. Galladay's a sweet name too.
Yeah. Jaguars, Titans, pass.
Whoa.
Vikings,
whoa.
Colts.
we should at least say with the Jags Titans game, this should be played on a Thursday night.
Yes.
We should not be watching this on a Sunday. This is a Thursday night football game. It should be played in England even
yeah,
on
no,
a Thursday night.
They shouldn't play it in England. They should just play it on England time. We should just get to watch this game at 9 a.m.
Agreed.
But it's Nashville time.
Yeah, and you know what? It just doesn't slap the same when it's not Blake and
pass.
Marcus Mariota.
Pass.
The only 1 p.m. game between 1-0 teams.
Whoa.
Oh, there we go. So is that record scratch? Is that the game of the weekend?
Is Jim Nantz calling this game?
Yeah.
No.
All right, we have Vikings-Colts next. I think the Vikings are very bad.
I think they're worse than they looked last week. I think the Colts are better than they looked last
yes,
week.
Yes, agreed.
I'm going to hold off judgment on this because Jim Irsay has not announced if the roof will be open or not.
Hank, shaking your head?
Moneyline dog of the week.
Okay. Also, Xavier Rhodes, who's now on the Colts. He's been old for 5 years.
Yeah.
Nice little fun storyline to watch. He, used to go, man up Adam Thielen in practice. So does he know his moves?
Okay, yeah, that's a good storyline.
Yeah.
Also, Kirk Cousins playing against the person that Kirk Cousins wishes that he was, Philip Rivers.
The best version of Kirk Cousins is Philip Rivers.
Absolutely. Kirk yes. Cousins, he's working on the whole no cussing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably lets a couple dams and maybe even a few hells slip here and there. He's working his way to becoming Philip Rivers. So that's something to keep an eye on. That's going to be a fun battle to watch. I still think that the Minnesota Vikings defense is going to figure it out. They're going to be really good.
They're young, and I know Mike Zimmer, but they're young. And they're right now they're missing a lot of guys, but they're also very young. in the secondary. I don't. I just think it's gonna be a bad year for the Vikings. Bills, Dolphins.
Wait. Before we move on, did everybody here see the Jim Irsay video today?
Yes.
The pump up video that he put out where he was standing behind the bench press. Very obviously, somebody else had been lifting there, but he was wearing his hernia belt, and he was just giving a pump up speech. The way that he had the weights racked on that bench press was insane. He had two 35-pound plates on each side, and then on the outside of that, a 45-pound plate. Are you telling me? I can't do the math that fast, but that's what, 300?
Billion pounds?
15 pounds?
He's a beast.
Like that?
Dude, I was like, dude, Jim Irsay, built different.
Built different.
That's
true. I think his liver could probably bench 350.
A lot of him is built different.
Yeah.
Bills, Dolphins, just start Tua.
Agreed.
Just start Tua. Bills are going to win. 49ers, Jets.
Jets stink. 49ers. Yeah.
BFD.
49ers by 12.5.
BFD. I kind of like the Jets here.
You think the Jets are frisky at home? Did you not see the dressing down that Greeny gave Adam Gase earlier
here's
today?
Something I know about the NFL. If you tell yourself in your gut that this team could potentially be the worst team in the league, and it's like week two or three, time to take them. Because everyone's having the same thought, and everyone's betting the 49ers, and we don't know if our friend Greg Kittle's going to play. We don't know what Jimmy Garoppolo looks like. A little West-East action.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
It's a West-East early game. I'll give you that.
Richard Sherman's out. I'm just saying.
I just think, just based off reputation alone, the Jets are going to lose this. The Jets are going to score negative 10 points somehow this
week. I'll say it right now. This is going to be my dog of the week. It's the hold your nose. This is disgusting. You're going to hate yourself at like 1:35 on Sunday when it's 17-3 49ers, but you're not dead yet.
I don't know.
Rams, Eagles. Eagles need this win.
It's close to a loser leaves town game.
The Carson Wentz, It's getting hot in here.
Yeah, it's getting really stinky in Philadelphia right now. There will be people calling for Carson Wentz and his head on a platter
already
if he loses this game.
It's already happening.
For sure. The Rams, I think, are better even than they looked last week. I think the Rams are going to be good this week or this year. I think they're going to be spicy. I think our boy Jay Goff is figuring it out.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Jay Goff. Broncos, Steelers. I mean, I don't have to tell you I love the Steelers every single week. By the way, this will be for people who are gambling on the Barstool Sportsbook app this weekend, the Eagles and the Steelers spreads are going to be boosted. So you're going to get, I think it's like, don't quote me on this, it might be plus 200. Is that right, Hank? I can't remember. But just know that if you want to bet on the spread, if you're an Eagles or Steelers fan, you will get extra money if you bet on your team with the Barstool Sportsbook app.
Now, with the Rams, are they the team that has to travel to Philadelphia and then they have to travel again to the East Coast next week? Because they're making a big deal out of that already.
Oh, they're not going to stay.
It's either the Niners or the Rams. And I love little stupid
Jake,
travel notes like this.
Get us that, Jake.
Because I guess in the past, those teams would have just stayed on the East Coast for the entire week.
Yeah, they're playing the Bills next week.
Okay.
Who? The Rams.
Oh. Yeah, there we go. So the Rams, is the looming travel going to be playing a mental factor in this game? I would say definitely.
I like that. Or you could go the other way. After they beat the Eagles, then the Rams, if they do stay on the East Coast, it's like it's another training camp. When the team stays together, they're like, oh, this is a second training camp for us.
Yeah, one of the teams usually gets that resort in West Virginia in the middle of nowhere,
right,
which to get to that place probably takes longer than it would to fly back to Los Angeles.
Yes. Jake?
Courtesy of Jordan Rodrigue of The Athletic. The Rams will travel day before for both back-to-back road trips the next 2 weeks. Initial plan was to stay on the East Coast for 2 weeks, but COVID.
Yeah, we're going to hear more about that.
Why can't they just find... Like, there has to be East and Kroenke. Can't buy him a compound somewhere?
Maybe testing. They have, like, the labs or whatever.
No,
you're right. East Stanley Kroenke should be – he should have a portable bubble.
Yeah.
He's got enough money.
I don't buy it. Cheap move, East
Stan
Kroenke.
Just bring a dome with you, Stan.
I love the Steelers. I actually might put a future on the Steelers to win the Super Bowl. That's how much I love the Steelers. And we're going to get to Bigger Than Ben later, but that defense fucks, and Big Ben is back. I love the Steelers. Panthers, Bucks – I think Tom Brady's going to eat this week, and everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, Tom Brady's back.
Yeah, Bruce Arians did the classic Bruce Arians thing where he just spent the entire week making fun of Tom Brady to the press.
He went at him.
He went at him, and that's what Bruce does. Bruce is usually 2 to 3 cocktails deep before he gets in front of any microphone. And I think Tom probably knew that, something like that was probably going to happen. But you know that Belichick was watching from New England and just laughing. Like, yeah. As much as you hated me at the end of this, you knew I would never – I would never talk to a reporter about you. I would talk to your family. I would probably berate you to your own children.
Yes.
But I wouldn't say that to anybody with a keyboard in front of me.
I would belittle you and make you feel like the smallest person in the world during film study, but never publicly.
So Bruce is probably the opposite. Bruce probably treats Brady pretty nicely during any sort of film breakdown.
Which I think Brady probably is pissed off about. Yeah. He's like, give it to me. Give it to me hard, Bruce.
Right.
Like, give me the fucking truth.
Yeah, slap me. Spank me, daddy. Choke me.
Don't tell me I was good.
Yeah, make me do the forced gluck-gluck on
you. Oh, Brady definitely gets off by being yelled at in film study when he fucks up.
I think anybody that's that successful and that powerful absolutely has a little bit of that kink to them. Mm-hmm. It's like, I can't get this at work. You got to give it to me on the side.
All right, Washington football team, Cardinals. Mm-hmm. This is going to be the Are They For Real game.
Yeah,
is my Are They For Real game, because if the Washington football team wins this game, I think you have to put them in the semi for real. Actually, it's the semi for real game, because I also would say the same for the Cardinals. If the Cardinals win this game, they're semi for real.
Yeah.
Now we're talking playoff team, like, hey, can they make some noise? Not complete, but something.
I think one of the stats said that Washington football had the best defense in the entire NFL through week one, which is to be expected when you get 8 sacks.
Yeah, right.
I think I want to say it was their DVOA ranking, but I'm not 100% sure. But
we've
outlawed numbers on this show. So I'm just going to – they passed the eyeball test last week. I'll put it that way.
I think they had like less than four yards per play. On offense?
Yeah.
So it's win ugly.
Okay. How many
win
points
ugly.
Did they have?
I know, win ugly.
Enough.
A win ugly.
They had enough points. But yeah, that front line of the Washington defense is insane. They are the Falcons with their front seven.
Right.
They've got, I want to say, like 5 first-round picks out of 7
Chase
players.
Young is insane.
Chase Young's awesome.
He's
Ryan Kerrigan.
Insane.
I would say, I think that the entire team should grow out dreadlocks, like Chase Young, like the Predator himself.
I like that.
Especially Ryan Kerrigan.
All right, Chiefs-Chargers. This one, this is going to be the game, the don't overthink it game of the week for me, because you're going to look at a stat on Sunday morning, and it's going to be 98% of the money is on the Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
right? It's going to be something ridiculous. And you're like, well, contrarian, got to take the Chargers. Let me ask you this. When the Chiefs go up, let's say 10-0 to start the game, is Tyrod Taylor going to bring you back?
Yeah, I've been thinking this about Tyrod for a while. He is the epitome of an average quarterback, but he's somehow worse than an average quarterback.
Well, because here's what he is. He doesn't make the mistakes that bad quarterbacks make. Like, he won't give you the egregious interception, you know, like bad Fitzpatrick last week when he's throwing 3 picks. He won't fumble the ball. He won't take, like, horrendous sacks. He just won't do anything.
Yeah.
He will just pass it underneath. And you'll just punt every single time.
Yeah, he is a rebound.
Yes.
Tyrod is the rebound quarterback
you
take right after you get done with a crazy person that just fucks your brains out. Tyrod's going to come in, might be a little bit stable for a little bit. Just get you a sense of normalcy. You look at him and you're like, that is a NFL quarterback playing the quarterback position. But you'd never think to yourself, like, Tyrod's going to win us this game.
He's maddening because he doesn't screw up. You know, when you want your bad quarterback to be visibly bad. You want to be like, this guy sucks. I fucking hate him. But he doesn't do anything that can let you say that. He just kind
of
stinks.
Here's the thing about Tyrod. He is the epitome of a backup quarterback. He should have like a 20-year career as a backup.
True.
The problem with Tyrod is he gets put in situations where he has to be the starter. He's like a Kyle Orton.
Yeah.
He's like
Kyle just followed me on Instagram.
Chaz Whitehurst. He's a guy that should be a great backup. If he was a backup, he'd probably be like a top 5 backup in the NFL. But he just gets asked to start too much.
He did get the Bills to the playoffs that time, and then they played the most boring playoff game of all time. Did they lose 7-0 in that game? Am I remembering that correctly?
10-3,
the Jaguars?
Maybe.
That was one
was
of
a
the
windy
worst
game.
Games
it was
ever.
It was a windy game.
That was such a bad game. Holy shit, was that a bad game. All right, so that's Chiefs-Chargers. I'm just take the Chiefs.
10-3.
Okay.
Oh, and you know what? It's going to be on that fast turf. Chargers' first game on the fast turf. I didn't realize this when we were making our picks and our over-unders. The over-under on that game is 47 points.
Faster?
On that turf, you might get that in the first half.
The problem is the Chargers may not score.
That's fine. I'm taking that into account with my advanced sabermetrics.
Yes.
I think the Chiefs might drop 100 on them.
Ravens-Texans. Bill O'Brien's going to be coaching for his job soon.
Which one? The GM job or the head coaching job?
Well, Bill O'Brien, the GM, might fire Bill O'Brien, the coach.
See, I've been thinking about that. There's always a chance you hear about a coach giving somebody else GM duties, if it comes down to that. This might go the other way.
Why not?
Bill O'Brien might actually just say, you know what, my heart, my passion is in fucking up rosters, so I'm willing to step away from coaching on the sidelines and bring somebody else in to deal with all my shit.
If he just did a press conference, it's like, I don't like the direction of this football team, the way we're playing games, the way we're losing games. We need a coach in there who's more disciplined, who has who's more creative.
Yeah.
And then he says, and for that reason, I, Bill O'Brien, general manager of the Texans, is firing Bill O'Brien, head coach of the Texans.
I would love to see it. It's the opposite of Bill Parcells when he was in Dallas and said, if you're going to ask me to cook dinner, then at least let me shop for the groceries.
Right.
Bill O'Brien is Instacart. Bill O'Brien is like, my passion truly lies in going to the grocery store, shopping in the Kroger, and then dropping the bags off at your front door.
Yes. Social distancing delivery.
Yes.
I'll just ring the doorbell for you.
Yeah, here are two running backs named Johnson. Go whip something up.
We joke about this all the time, but it is true. An NFL coach can keep their job for many different reasons, but the best way to do it, one is obviously drafting a quarterback and then not playing them and then having them be a project.
Yep.
And then saying, well, I got to work with them. They're my guy. But the other one is giving yourself so many jobs that you can shuffle the deck at all times. So the GM coach is a nice safety blanket for Bill O'Brien because he can step away from the GM, start play calling, then step away from the play calling and focus on coaching. He can just keep shuffling the deck and no one will notice.
Absolutely. He might move the team. He might move the team to Tennessee. Guess what? We're moving the Texans. They're going to be the Nashville Texans.
We should write a book about, like, a short book, how to keep your job in the NFL for as long as possible.
I think we know all the tricks.
We really do.
Moving the franchise and being that voice of stability, that is the best thing that you can possibly... That buys you 3 more years.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I don't want to... Having, like, your owner die is also good.
Yeah, because...
Your owner die, the next or, like, guy comes a legend in. of the team, of the franchise die, like an old legend.
You know what he should do?
You can't fire someone during that.
If the owner of the team dies, and then he volunteers to help the new owner with the coaching search,
right,
interviews everybody, and then he decides that, you know what, I'm the best person for the job. That's the old Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
How he became vice president.
It's a genius way. All right, last one. Hank, I'll let you go. Patriots Seahawks, Sunday Night Football. We'll be in Philly. It's going to be exciting. What do you think?
Patriots by 7.
Okay. Wow. I like the confidence. I can't wait to see what Cam wears to the stadium. That's going to be... I was thinking about that because last week they played one of the early games, so we got to see what he was wearing, like, when we woke up. That was part of our pregame. Oh, look at Cam. He's wearing the banana suit on the way in. He's wearing the bright yellow double-breasted piece. What time are we going to get to see what Cam is wearing to this game? Is it going to be like 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
I feel like they usually show that during, well, I guess, I don't know, because it's not promoted on the same networks, but they usually show it during like the 4 o'clock game. Like, here comes. Well, I guess that's what they do if they're showing like a doubleheader on CBS. They'll show the players arriving for the late game.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like sometime in that 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock window.
One of these games, he's just going to show up wearing the Speedo that Sacha Baron Cohen wore in Borat. Everyone's going to lose their mind.
Yeah, that would be so fucking funny.
All I'm saying for this game is if we don't get somebody tossing a fish in Pike Place Market as the B-roll, we riot. We need that in Seattle. It's been because they got onto the joke for a while, and then they thought that the internet was making fun of them, which we kind of were, but it's kind of comforting to see that.
Yes.
Just the dude tossing a full salmon
across
the marketplace. They stopped doing it the last couple years. We need that Sunday Night Football.
So can I, not to be a downer for Seahawks fans right now, but can I give you a hilarious quote from Pete Carroll after Russell Wilson's game on Sunday?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson threw 4 touchdowns, basically had a perfect game. The let Russ cook bullying online finally worked. They let Russ throw the ball more. Afterwards, unfortunately, Pete Carroll was like, that's not the game plan. He said 7 and 6 carries wasn't enough for our guys, and we need to get more. We were at 20 runs. We want to get more than that in general. But when Russ was completing every pass, we weren't discouraged about moving the football. But we love running the ball. We always have. And those guys will get more carries as we move down through the schedule. Essentially, Pete Carroll was saying, our game plan was to still not have Russell Wilson throw the ball a bunch. Mm-hmm. But he was just so good, we couldn't stop throwing the ball.
Yeah, he prevented us from doing what we were. He stopped me from doing
how
something really
is
dumb.
That?
Here's why I think
playing mind games too.
Like, dude, you realize that everyone was applauding Pete Carroll on Sunday. Like, they finally let Russ cook, and then he gets in front of the podium. He's like, "We hated our game plan tonight. That was atrocious. What we did."
Belichick basically called him the best player in the league today, probably sowing some division because he said, "I think he's underrated by the media or the fans, but I really don't see anybody better than this player."
Seattle.
So this, now Russell Wilson is going to be like, even Belichick knows I should cook, coach.
I just love that Pete Carroll was disappointed that they didn't run the ball in a game where Russell Wilson was like positively sublime.
Pete Carroll is going to absolutely revert back to his old ways because we're getting Pete Carroll at night. And Pete Carroll at night is the very essence of Pete Carroll.
The gum.
The gum is going to be smacking. The strut's going to be happening. Hopefully we can get a little mist in the air so he's glowing on the outside.
Yep.
I think he gets younger at night.
Yes.
He looks like he's no older than 53 at night. And then during the daytime, he ages all the way up to like 55, 56.
He gets that little like pop in his knee that's just beautiful to watch. What do you got?
How do we know that Pete Carroll isn't trying to play mind games with Belichick by making him think he's going to run the ball?
I don't think that Pete Carroll is a conspiracy guy, Billy.
No, Pete Carroll.
He's not a truther.
Yeah. Remember, he's a twin. Yeah. Twins are weird.
That's true.
All right. Let's get to our picks. So Barstool Sportsbook app, if you're in Pennsylvania, you can bet. Starting Friday afternoon. If you're not, you can still download it. We're going to be in more states as we go down the calendar. We'll have a plan there. All right, quickly, let's do it. Underdog, I'll take the Jets plus 7 PFT.
I have the Washington football team, and this is my bird alert of the week. I'm putting the...
You can't do Washington football team. Or do they always play birds?
No, it just so happens. I think they're...
What's their schedule? Do they have birds just nonstop?
They are the bird hunters. Yeah. They're first-degree birder at 1,600. The Washington football team is going to take out a second flock this week.
Wow. Hank.
Vikings.
I'm going to take the under in the Jets game as well, 42 PFT.
I have the under in Jags-Titans, 44.
Hank.
Also Vikings.
I'm going to take the over in the Packers game, hoping that the Lions don't have any secondary, over 49.
Over New England at Seattle, 44.5.
Ooh.
Rematch Sunday of the Super Bowl as well. How many times are we going to see the replay of that interception?
A lot.
Yes.
Hank?
Well, I'm sorry. Must credit Matt Patricia.
Yes.
Bills-Dolphins. Josh Allen going off.
Bills-Dolphins. Oh, okay. And then my favorite's going to be the Chiefs. Don't think, just throw.
My favorite is the Colts. Colts aren't as bad.
Ooh,
Vikings
we got a lock
aren't
off.
As good as people think.
Hank versus PFT.
And I was going to have the Chiefs as well.
Okay. All right, so those are our picks. I have the Can't Lose Parlay. We also have... PFT has some props coming on Sunday night.
Yeah, the props for tonight. Those are going to come out, I think... On Saturday?
Saturday will be loaded.
You're going to actually be able to bet on them on the Barstool Sports Sportsbook. So they're fun little props.
I've seen them. They look awesome. Actually, you know what? Just fuck it. Give one.
Should I give one?
Give one. Give a tease of one.
Okay, I'm going to give it.
No odds. Just give one.
Run the Jewels. Julian Edelman over under half a rushing attempt.
Ooh.
Run the Jewels prop of the week.
Love it.
I'm not going to give what the odds are. They're pretty even odds on it. I think he's going to get a carry.
Okay, I love it. So that will be there. I also have invented a new bet that's coming out on Saturday night that will be there for Sunday. So get excited for that. And then I have my Can't Lose Parlay. You ready for it?
Hit me.
Can't Lose Parlay did lose last week, but let's be honest, it can't lose. This one's special because this one is plus 400. At the Barstool Sportsbook app, plus 400. Cowboys.
Okay.
Bears.
Okay.
You love the Bears.
I do like the Bears a lot this weekend, yes.
Bills.
Uh-huh.
And then just sit back and watch the Chiefs win.
Okay, the Chiefs, that's free.
Free.
Yeah,
that's you know what I did. One what I like to do is I like to do the 3-1 o'clock.
Because the Chiefs can't lose.
Right, and you just throw in the 4 o'clock, so it's just a little extra. And then you can sit back and be like, well, everyone's sweating out 8.5. You're like, well, I have them plus 400.
You already won your parlay.
Right.
Yeah. And now you get to watch that just as a coronation.
It cannot lose.
The Chiefs can't lose.
It cannot
lose. And then when you
add
that to the other games that also can't lose, you get a can't lose parlay.
Remember to gamble responsibly, and it could lose, but it cannot lose. It can't lose.
It can't lose.
It says it in the name. So it's 0-1 this year, but that was a fluke.
Aberration.
Week one, can't lose parlay. You know what it was? I didn't put enough gas in the car. I got in the car, I turned the key, there wasn't enough gas in the car for the can't lose parlay. I gassed it up, plus 400.
Also, you didn't have a preseason.
We're ready to go. Right.
You had your preseason week one.
We're ready to go. All right, let's go. We'll do quick fantasy fuckboys. Then we got Dennis Reynolds, Glenn Howerton on the show. PFT, you have an ad, though, before that.
Before we do the old fuckboys, I want to talk to you about 3Chi. We love 3Chi on this show. I have their gummies right now. They are the absolute best. One of our favorite products here at Barstool. I think everybody loves 3Chi. Again, let me give a warning. They have their gummies, they have their vapes, their oils, their tinctures. If you're going to take a gummy, take half of a gummy the first time that you do it. Don't take a full one until you know exactly how you're going to feel, because this stuff is legit. It's the truth. I love it. 3Chi is the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. All of their products are formulated by a biochemist. They released their Delta 8 THC products, and they were the first federally legal THC products sold in the United States since Prohibition started almost 90 years ago. What is Delta 8, you might be asking? Well, it's a federally legal version of THC. Delta 8's effects are a perfect hybrid of CBD and Delta 9 THC, which is what you get when you smoke a doob, your standard jazz cigarette. But with Delta 8, you have that similar buzz. You get all the medicinal effects of the Delta 9, and you don't get the laziness, the anxiety, the paranoia, or the mental fogginess. Delta 8 users report feeling far more active and outgoing. You get increased confidence and almost none of the anxiousness or the paranoia that you get with Delta 9. Delta 8 is federally legal. It's going to have you feeling amazing, but you're going to be functional and clear-headed instead of lazy and paranoid. And 3Chi isn't just the best in the Delta 8 industry. They invented the entire industry. So check them out online. You can check out their products there. They're 100% hemp-derived. That's the number 3CHI.com. So it's 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com. You can visit them at select retailers around the country as well. You have to be 21 to purchase, and we are going to give you 5% off your order. 5% off your order. You might be saying, PFT, 5%, what gives? That's not that much. Well, guess what? 3Chi doesn't need to give you 5% off because they're that good. They know that you'll be paying full price. They are giving you money, putting that back in your pocket. All you have to do is go to the number 3CHI.com. Shop for their vapes, their gummies, their tinctures, and their oils. You can even make your homemade edibles using those oils. You have to be 21, but go to 3Chi.com. Use promo code PMT at checkout.
Okay, ready? Fantasy Fuckboys. Billy, do you have yours?
Yep.
Let's go. Oh, here we go.
Good job, Billy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, boys?
Whoa.
It's Arthur Arugula. My stardom this week is Ryan Tannehill. Everyone thinks the Titans are a running team. He's putting up 4 TDs and 250 yards minimum this weekend. Minimum.
Bro, you got that COVID?
Nah.
That stuff's fake.
Nah, it's my vape, bro.
Better not put on a fucking mask.
My situm is dandruff. You have flakes in your head. You can't fucking hang out with me.
That's right.
What? Get some anti-dandruff shampoo, you fat fuck.
You look like trash when you got the flakes. Gotta put some nice slick oil in that hair. You're looking like a real man.
Why were you looking directly at me?
No
when
one
you
in
said
particular.
That.
Oh, my sleeper is Jim Irsay. He's jacked. I would love to walk into a bar with him and fuck some people's heads up.
Only a sleeper when he's behind the wheel of a car.
And he's got the pills to put you to sleep, hell yeah.
Let's go. What's up, you dickheads? My name is Ricky Tangelo Bellicatini. I'm starting the course this weekend. That's right, the course is getting a big start. That's right, I fucking love the course. I'm also starting soup, by the way.
The course kind of sucked today.
Course can't have two today. Stardoms.
Course is a weekend play. It's a primetime play. I don't give a shit. Patrick Reed, get a hole in one today. Get a hole in nine on Sunday afternoon. I don't give a fuck. I'm sitting lacrosse. Those entitled fucks. Those bastards trying to take my job. Sitting lacrosse. Sleeper this week, David Johnson. That's right. That's right. Houston's got the old David Johnson, Duke Johnson backfield. But guess what? Duke is dropped out so fast it's going to make everyone think that it's the NCAA tournament all over again. Duke Johnson literally translates to Willie Colon, which translates to hitting it from the back. And that's what David... You know what this is? This is the double star of David this weekend because David Johnson's getting 12 points against the Baltimore D.
Love it.
How you doing? How you doing? It's Rocco Giadomenico. My stardom this week is WD-40. Fuck you, squeaky fucks. And my situm is the Houston defense.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to do well. Anyway.
Which is my sleeper, Rocco?
My sleeper is melatonin because it'll put your lights out.
Oh, nice. All right. What's up, guys? Tony Baloney. He's back. Tony Baloney. My stardom is the Chiefs on the fast turf. You saw the turf. You saw the turf, it's fast. It goes so fucking fast. You better have the Chiefs on the fast turf.
My dad does landscaping. He was like, yo, that turf, that shit's fast.
Fast. My sitem is the Falcons. I officially disavow from the Atlanta Falcons. I'm done with them. I walked in one morning early, and there were the Falcons with the head in the toilet, and their hair was touching the toilet water. Disgusting. I'm done with the Falcons.
Your mother's wake?
Yeah, and my sleeper is everyone get an extra hour of sleep because this weekend's daylight savings time. Remember to do your clocks.
Set your clocks forward this weekend. It's very, very important.
Fuck, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
yo, what's up?
Remember to set your clocks.
You lost your virginity in daylight savings time? That shit doesn't even count.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's yes.
Dude,
that's
you lasted for an hour and 5 minutes. That's incredible.
That's a mind fuck.
Yeah. Trust me, I know.
Damn. Wait, in the spring or the fall?
The fall.
Wow. So when it fell back, you had sex for negative
never happened.
An hour negative. And 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, 5 minutes.
But it was.
Yeah, it was
my first time. It was like,
damn,
virgin. Yeah, Hank's a virgin.
You
right?
are technically a virgin.
Congratulations, yeah. Hank. Sweet boy.
All right, that's our fantasy fuck boys. They're back. Let's get to Dennis Reynolds, Glenn Howerton. Awesome interview with him. And then we're going to review Bigger Than Ben Part 3, the finale, Part 4, the finale after our interview with Glenn.
What? The finale?
I think so. I mean, it went to like Monday night.
It's got to be
the
finale,
clips
yeah.
from Monday Night Football.
It was like Hard
Very
Knocks. They updated
yeah.
it using contemporary TV.
I actually was thinking the whole time, like, Hard Knocks is kind of on the ropes. Let's just do Ben Knox.
Yeah,
every summer.
Ben Roethlisberger being able to update in faster time than Hard Knocks is really an indictment of HBO Sports.
Yes.
That place is really falling downhill, huh?
All right, let's before we get to Glenn Howerton, here's the thing about home security companies. Most trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support. So while there are a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer, SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe's got everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It's got an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room, window, and door tailored specifically for your home. Professional monitoring keeps watch day and night, ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals if there's an emergency. You can set it up yourself in under an hour. Just peel and stick the sensors exactly where you need them. No technician required, and there's no contract, no pushy sales guys, no hidden fees, no fine print. All this starts at $15 a month. I'm not the only one who thinks SimpliSafe is great. U.S. News & World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020. So head to simplisafe.com/PMT. Get a free HD camera for all the listeners out there. That's simplisafe.com/PMT to make sure they know that our show sent you. Thank you to SimpliSafe. And do that. Put in this promo code, simplisafe.com/PMT, so we can get credit and you get a home security system that is better than all the other ones out there. Okay, here he is, Dennis Reynolds, Glenn Howerton. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is Glenn Howerton. He has his show, season 3 of AP Bio, out on Peacock, streaming now. Go watch it right now. Get Peacock. You should have Peacock. But if you don't, get it. Watch AP Bio. Great to have you on, Glenn. We appreciate your time. Let's start with AP Bio. So I have to, it's got to feel weird doing a show. You're in season 3 now where you don't have the control that you had with Always Sunny, I would imagine, right? Do you feel a little helpless at times, being kind of at the whims of other people when it comes to the direction or the writing or however it may, the chips may fall here?
Well, it was important to me from the beginning that I was a producer on the show, so that I could kind of not just be an actor for hire, but actually to be able to feel comfortable giving script notes and things like that. Because I didn't want to be a writer on the show for a couple of reasons. One, because that's a lot of work. And two, because I didn't want it to be my show. I wanted it to, one of the things I really liked about it was that Mike O'Brien, the show's creator, has a very specific comedic voice. And, you know, a lot of what is my specific comedic voice goes into the show that I have already, and I didn't want it to feel that way. So, you know, there was a certain amount of trust that had to be put into it, because you're right. I do have strong opinions about what's funny and what's not funny, what works story-wise, what doesn't work. And I spoke up about that stuff with Mike pretty early on. And most things I found we agreed on, then there were things that we disagreed on. that I felt very strongly that I was right because of my experience. And there were quite a few of those things that I fought him on that he was 100% correct about, because it made sense for the tone of AP Bio. And it's what makes that show, again, special and different from Sonny. So, you know, in the three seasons that I've been working on the show, I've learned to really trust Mike and his sensibilities, because he's just incredibly smart and funny.
So one thing that you've done a really good job of, whether it's AP Bio or it's Always Sunny, is you play very unlikable characters, but somehow they become very likable. Like, you almost find yourself rooting for them to be more unlikable. You know, whether they're narcissistic or sociopathic or whatever they are, how do you go about doing that? Because I think we're both very, we have people on our show who are narcissistic and sociopathic. We want to make sure that they remain likable. I'm not saying it's us. I'm saying, you know, what advice would you give to somebody like that?
Right. Well, I think probably the key to it is, I am not personally narcissistic. So I like to think that some of who I am as a person comes through. I'm really not like the character, most of the characters that I play on TV. Thank God. And so I think some of that comes through. I think another part of it is making it, like, as an actor, for me, these characters are, they're overcompensating for a fragile ego. And I think, I think it's gotta be clear to the audience that, you know, this is a person who actually feels things very deeply. You know, that's been the thing with Dennis, is that people are like, oh, he's a psychopath, he's got no feelings. And I think it's the exact opposite. I think he feels so much that it's scary to him, and he has to sort of act like he's better than everybody else and above it all in order to combat his own feelings that he's actually quite a fragile person. And I think in some ways that is something that I think the two characters share, Dennis and Jack. Although I will say that I think that Jack is, I think deep down Jack is genuinely a good guy. I think there's hope for Jack. I don't know that there's much hope for Dennis.
Did you ever find yourself in playing Dennis for so many years, like slipping into Dennis when you're off camera? Because I know we talked to a friend of ours, this is, sounds like a name drop, Zac Efron, who played Ted Bundy, and he was like, I had to basically, like, you know, have a decompression after we shot every scene, because it was like so haunting trying to be this guy who's a serial killer. Obviously Dennis wasn't a serial killer, but there had to be moments where you had to catch yourself being like, oh shit, this is Dennis talking, not Glenn.
When we're writing the show, you know, we're really thinking as all the characters. So, you know, I'd say I spend more time working on It's Always Sunny thinking in the voice of all the characters, not just my own. And I think after playing the character for so many years, it's really not that hard for me to slip in and out of it. I think I would have a tougher time with it if I was in Zach's position. If I was doing a movie where, you know, he had to really immerse himself in that character, in that world, because the thing is, like, he didn't have the luxury of playing that character and building that character over the course of many, many years, you know, while actually doing it and performing it, you know, whereas I had the luxury of creating the character and living as that character for years and years and years. When you're on a film, you have to create that amount, that depth of life before you even start shooting on day one. So you're already, you know, so you're living as this person for a very compressed period of time. You have to spend more time as that character.
Yeah.
When you're doing it for the first time for a film than you would for a TV show, if that makes sense. And I could see why that would be harder for him. It was probably harder for him to shake than it would be for me.
So if you spend a lot of your time kind of imagining yourself as other characters that you're also writing, if you were to, like, reshuffle the lineup of Always Sunny and put different actors as different roles, How do you think, like, what is the best alternate lineup in a different universe? Like, would you be a good Charlie? Would you be a good Mac? How do you think that would shake out?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I mean,
great question.
Thank you.
I think it would be fun to, I could see myself having the most fun probably playing Charlie's character. Yeah. Personally.
Yeah.
I would love to see Charlie play my character because, you know, there've been a handful of times on the show where Charlie's character kind of takes charge of the gang and is weirdly the smartest smartest and sharpest one. You know, the Charlie Work episode being probably the most primary example of that. There have been others though where Charlie is kind of the aggressor and the dick and the protagonist, and cocky Charlie is very funny to me. You know, I mean, that guy's got more gears than I think most people realize. He's a really, really tremendous actor, and I would say probably that he is the best at writing for my character amongst the three of us. I mean, a lot of the best monologues that Dennis has spoken have been written by Charlie.
Feel free to use that in a future episode. I feel like that's a lost little crutch that a lot of comedies used to use back in the day. Is like one character makes a wish, and then all of a sudden their personalities completely switch up. Yeah, the Freaky Friday. And no sitcoms do like the line down the middle of a room anymore. I miss that. Yeah. Like, and then the dog gets half the line on it, and you have to take ownership of each side. These are some old tropes that I think could make a real strong comeback.
I think you're not wrong, and you know, as a writer, my wheels are spinning. That's actually not a bad idea.
One's on the house. So, feel free to use it. I don't even need a writing credit.
So if Charlie wrote a lot of the iconic Dennis scenes, what did you write? Like, what character did you feel most comfortable writing for?
Oh God, I love writing for Caitlin's character. I love writing for Dee. You know, the desperate need for approval and you know, crippling insecurity are things that I really do enjoy writing a lot. So I would say I probably have the most fun writing for her character.
When Rob Mack gained all that weight, could you even look at him without laughing? Because that was, it's just funny. Like that whole entire season when he gained weight, it's just like, you can't look at him without laughing. And he wore it so well, like there was nothing wrong that he just casually put on 50 pounds. I still can't believe he just did that and then got ripped after that. That's kind of a show-off move by him.
Totally. No, I mean, this is just a very tortured man. And when I say man, I don't mean Mac. I mean Rob McElhenney.
Yeah.
You know, desperately trying to figure out how to make his life as difficult as possible so that he doesn't have to face his own demons.
I like laughing at that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah, like, true, classic. Yeah.
He's a little bit of a, he is a little bit of a glutton for punishment. And he's not one to sort of sit still and let things just kind of happen the way they've been happening. He's like, you know, once we settle into a groove, it's like, okay, how can I make this more difficult? And you know, it's a good instinct as an artist. He's never satisfied. It's really interesting that when he gained all that weight, it changed his character. His character became sort of weirdly like slower and almost a little dumber. And it did something to him to where it's almost like, you know, when you're an actor, a lot of times when you're doing theater training, you do mask training. And it's really interesting because when you put on a mask, you don't feel like yourself, and it frees you in a way to be, you're a little looser. It's hard to explain. And I think when he gained 60 pounds, he didn't feel or look like himself. And so he just kind of dropped into a whole new character. And I found it hysterical.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's interesting because I think for a while, there would always be comparisons made to The Simpsons. Like if a new show came out and there was an episode or a character that mirrored somebody on The Simpsons, that would get pointed out. And then South Park kind of became that type of show. I know Seinfeld was like that for a little bit as well. And then I think you guys have kind of taken that over for the at least last, you know, 10 years or so, people will point out other new shows that come out and be like, oh, well, these characters are like Always Sunny, or this show is Always Sunny but set in Oregon. You know, like there's that dynamic of it. Do you find yourself watching new comedies and like seeing those relations to what you've created at all? And if you do, are you like, hey, they're biting us a little bit? Or are you usually more of the lines like, oh, well, we set this and now it's evolved a little bit?
I definitely never take offense to it. If anything, you know, I mean, I think any artist would like to think that he's having sort of an impact on the world and an impact on culture, because we are, you know, we are sort of attention seeking on some level. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the performing arts. I think, you know, whenever I see comedies where we showed that you can do edgier comedy on basic cable. I mean, I know that sounds a little niche, but like there wasn't a lot of, there were like a handful of maybe, I mean, there was like Curb Your Enthusiasm and, you know, there were a handful of, you know, sort of pay cable comedies, but there weren't really any basic cable comedies that were coming along and just kind of shaking things up. So, I mean, I like to think that we opened the doors for, I mean, we definitely, I mean, I think the most clear example is probably Workaholics, mm-hmm. You know, of a show that probably looked at our show and said, okay, we want to do our version of that, which I think they did a really good job of doing their version of what we do, because that show is very different, but you can see the, you can see them on the family tree. I think you can see that there's some lineage there, but I think those guys also did an extraordinary job of making it their own. I was a little worried at first, not because I felt like they were copying us, but because I thought like, oh no, it never works when you're like, we're just going to do that. We're going to do the same thing. And there were certain things at the beginning that made me feel, I'm like, oh no, they're trying to make the same show. But then they very quickly kind of distinguished themselves from our show in a way that I thought was great.
I remember when I first watched Always Sunny, it was introduced to me as Seinfeld on crack. And I think that was a good brief description. And the minute I watched it, I was like, oh, I get it. Yeah, it is Seinfeld on crack. It's Seinfeld unfiltered, rated R. What is AP Bio then?
Oh, what is AP Bio? Election on crack?
Ooh,
That's good.
I also should say AP Bio, so I always get all of my reviews off of Google, like the people also ask. So it says, is AP Bio a good show? Question mark. And it says, most of it is silly and well beyond believability, even for a sitcom, but what matters most is that AP Bio is funny. So there you go. That's huge, dude. That's huge.
I would say I get with that. I totally get it. I mean, that's one of the things I love about the show is that I think is something that a truly good show can do. I mean, South Park has done such a great job of this and had since the very beginning. They created a world that's like our world, but it's almost a little bit more of a parallel world in the sense that reality is slightly different, but there are rules to that reality and we try to follow those rules. I think Sunny is the same way too. I mean, although I would say with Sunny, it's only its own little world in the sense that when you're with the main cast, and then once you take that main cast and put them into the real world, they're faced with the fact that their version of the world is just completely insane.
Yes.
You know, and I think that comes through, but you know, I just love the, I just love how overwhelmingly positive and optimistic the world of AP Bio is. And even though my character is incredibly cynical and, you know, a little bit of a jerk, he's just surrounded by such joyful positivity. And I think it's really funny to watch those two things constantly clashing.
Yeah.
We're going to get back to this interview with Dennis Reynolds in just a second. But first, I want to talk to you about Screwball. New sponsor alert, Hank. Glenn Howerton won't even mind having this interview interrupted because we have a new sponsor, and it's Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. I love whiskey. During September, we didn't make any rules about sipping whiskey. I've become very much a whiskey guy. Always really have been. Like a good bourbon, like a nice rye whiskey. Enjoy a Manhattan on the rocks. Great, great drink to have to wind down at the end of the day. Guess what? I've got a new sipping whiskey, and it's Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. If you're looking for the perfect drink to enjoy at your next virtual happy hour, do yourself a favor. Go for Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. If you consider yourself a black sheep, a misfit, or a screwball, if so, they've got just the perfect drink for you, and that is Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It's an outlet to unleash your inner creative self while cooped up at home. Look no further than Screwball. It's got a warm and welcoming aroma, a deliciously smooth palate. Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey is not your average flavored liquor. We love Screwball. We would recommend it to our friends and family. Anyone who's rebellious, nonconformist, who's also enjoying pretty tasty whiskey and definitely not boring, they always reach for a Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Screwball tastes amazing all by itself. You can have it neat. You can have it on the rocks. You can have it as a shot. Screwball also elevates practically any cocktail into a whole new experience. It's extremely versatile. It's the perfect addition to your favorite cocktail. Everyone is in their own personal bartender during these quarantine times. Pour it over ice, add it to your coffee. Ooh, that sounds good. A little peanut butter whiskey in the coffee, a little Irish hello in the morning. Or you can put it with a scoop of vanilla bean ice cream, make it a special adult dessert. They're made by a husband and wife duo with American whiskey and peanut butter flavor. I don't know if that the husband and wife probably don't have the flavor of whiskey and peanut butter on them, but it is made by a husband and wife, and they specialize in making this type of whiskey. The end result is savory and creamy with a touch of sweetness and without a lingering heavy finish. So try it right now. You can check out on their website, screwballwhiskey.com. You can find some recipes for you to toss that whiskey into. Once you buy it, you can thank us later for it. Won a double gold medal and best in class. Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey is the absolute truth. It's original, most award whiskey. Drink responsibly, please. Go to screwballwhiskey.com for more info and click on buy now. Please drink responsibly. 35% alcohol by volume. That's a good amount. That's a good amount for a flavored whiskey. And now, more Glenn Howerton. So when you're working on something that's newer like AP Bio, you know, you're used to having that enormous run of success with Always Sunny. When the show starts to come out, are you finding yourself reading the reviews more often than you would in the past? Because you're like, well, you're a little bit, you know, you're more worried. You're not as confident that this next show is going to be as much of a success as it's been in the past. Or are you just of the mindset that, you know, like listening to the critics will do more harm than good?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to the second part of that question, whether it does more harm than it does good. I think, look, well, I'm okay. I will admit that I'm the type, I read, if I have time, I read all the reviews, all of them. So I do the exact opposite of what I think most people do or what they say they do, although I suspect they don't. And I actually dive right in. I read all the critical stuff. I read all the bad stuff and all the good stuff. And I think I'm able to do that because I've developed a very healthy sense of self through the years. And I think I've been validated. I feel validated enough by the people in my life that I consider smart and funny, and also by years of you know, working on a successful show, that I've started to trust that whatever I think, you know, things that I think are good and funny are actually good and funny. You know, but I have blind spots just like anybody else does. And so I think reading the bad reviews for me personally, I think it's good because I don't take it to heart so much so that I lose faith in myself, as much as I look at it and I go, oh yeah, we can make some adjustments. The show can be improved upon. I mean, I'm not so cocky as to think that everything I do is so fucking good that that can't be improved upon. You know, there's some really great, smart opinions out there by, you know, fans of the show and critics of the show. You know, and they often have some really terrific insight into, you know, sometimes it's just about what, you know, even people talking about what makes the show work makes me go, oh yeah, that's true. Right. I mean, that is what makes the show work. And like, you know, sometimes it's shit I haven't even thought of. you know, they tend not to break me, the bad reviews. I like them. And sometimes when they're really, really bad, I weirdly actually really, am incredibly amused by that. I think if I felt like if I didn't like the show so much, I think it might hurt my feelings more, because I'd be like, oh man, I really screwed the pooch on this one.
Right.
You know, but I'm incredibly proud of AP Bio. I personally think it's hysterical. I think it's really, really funny. I think it's really unique. And, you know, so if I read something bad about it, like just doggedly bad, which hasn't really happened all that much, I think it's fucking hilarious.
Well, here's one from 2014 from Puff Puff okay. Police, says AP Bio sucks dick. I think that that person knew the show was going to suck 4 years before it came out. That sucks, dude. That's pretty good them. Yeah.
I was about to respond to that, and I didn't even catch the whole 2014 of it.
Is there a little bit of truth to that review?
Yeah, you could just search Twitter and be like, "Oh, all these people are just talking about high school. Who cares? Like, they don't hate my show.
Does the show suck dick?"
Damn, that's a really good point. There's probably a lot of like criticism out there.
Oh yeah,
people that are just talking about how much they hate their AP Bio class, and people are going to be like, "Oh shit, they're talking about that show."
Yeah, this person said AP Bio can suck my dick. I did search AP Bio sucks dick, so I'm going to get a lot of those. But yeah, there's a lot of people in the last like 10 years who have really hated this show, Glenn.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I would just say maybe try to be more specific next time.
Yeah, That's fair. All right. So we asked this question to everyone, all of our guests. How much money do you make off the residual checks for Always Sunny? Everyone gets this question, so don't feel like you're special.
Well, enough to pay for all these goofy knickknacks you see behind me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
What do you splurge on? What is that?
What's that?
What do you splurge on? What's like your you know, your was Bleeding Gums Murphy from The Simpsons had a $1,000 day Fabergé egg habit or something like that?
God, what's my splurge? Well, I mean, I definitely not clothes. I just wear t-shirt and jeans every day. So I'm not like a clothing guy. Definitely probably spent a little too much money on building this house. My wife and I built a house in Venice, 4 years ago, or we moved in 4 years ago.
Italy?
What's that?
Italy?
No.
Okay.
No, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
that would have been super cool. No. Venice Beach, California.
Nice.
When you were when you get ready to start work on AP Bio, did you actually have to go back and like learn some AP Bio terms? Because for me, like if I had to go take the remedials of that class again, I would be like, no, I'm out. You can do the show with somebody else.
Well, I knew my character wasn't going to be teaching much AP Bio, so no. But I did what I did do because my character is a Harvard philosophy professor before he came back to Toledo. I did read quite a. I was reading a lot of philosophy books, and you know, talk about reading stuff that'll make your eyes cross. My God! And then I think I kind of got to a point where I was like, I don't know that I need to be doing this. Because I'm not going to be writing the show. So if, you know, there's a specific reference to a particular philosophy or philosopher, I can, in a script, I can just kind of look it up then.
Yeah. All right. So if you had to pick one Always Sunny episode, I'm sure you get asked this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. One episode, you're like, that's the one. Like, that's the one I would send to someone. I'm convincing them this is the greatest show of all time. You're having them watch this specific episode. Which one are you picking?
Whew. I mean, I've definitely developed a handful of, you know, favorites over the years. But there's so many that I'm sure there's some that I'm forgetting. I'm going to give you three that I think are just ones that really, really tickle me a lot. Mm-hmm. I believe it's called The Gang Hits the Road from season 5.
Yep.
The gang goes on a road trip or something like that. And it's the one where we're trying to drive to the Grand Canyon.
And you never make it out of Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Great episode.
Thanks, man. The gang gets quarantined, which is extremely, you know, was incredibly prescient. Mm-hmm. because we quarantine ourselves in the bar because there's a big flu outbreak. I just, that episode really tickles me. And then I would say maybe the gang beats Boggs.
Yeah.
It's just another one that I just, it's just, it just makes me laugh.
How often do people come up to you and they're like, hey, the dentist system, but they're like not joking?
Not joking.
Like, hey, the dentist system, I use it. It works. And you're like, no, that's a joke, dude. Just relax.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, but we quite a bit on social media.
Yes, for sure.
You know, but the thing is like we kind of, I mean, to be fair, we designed that system, to work.
Right.
I mean, because it wasn't going to be, it wouldn't have been funny to me personally if it weren't something that you could look at and go, oh shit, that kind of works.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
To be clear, I'm not advocating for it.
No.
If anything, the show is always advocating against anything the characters do. But I do. It is definitely one of the most iconic things we've ever done on the show because, I was already dating her at the time, but my wife is in that episode, the dentist system episode. She plays the pharmacist that my character Dennis is in that episode. And, so anytime people are always asking like, did you guys meet on the show? But no, we'd known each other for a couple of years before that. And had been dating for a little while, but, anytime I post pictures on Instagram of my wife and I, there's people like, oh, it looks like the dentist system really works. Like every, like, 75% of the comments are like about the dentist system, and you're just like, dude, are you not reading the other like? It's just that episode was 11 years ago.
Yeah,
but it did work.
It had an impact.
Yeah, they're not wrong.
Somewhere in the depths of your brain, the dentist system already existed. You just hadn't written it down yet.
Right. Right.
I'm loathe to admit it, but I think on some level, I think that's probably true. It was, a little bit of a really, really dark look at maybe certain things that I or people that I knew had practiced in the past. Right.
I mean, I saw that show with Mystery on VH1. I read the game. I'm familiar with what is it, the art of the seduction speed techniques or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
The game. Yeah. It wasn't based on that, but it was there. As I recall, at that time, when did the game come out? Do you remember
the game? I want to say like 2005, 2004, somewhere around then.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, so it was in my consciousness. I hadn't read it, but I'd heard about it, and I, like you, had read about this guy. What was his name? Mystery?
Yeah,
the Mystery Method. Yeah,
you know his name. Come on, dude.
His dentist system was like wear a funny hat,
yeah,
and then be tall, and then boom, you can sleep with anybody.
Yeah. I just remember him talking about the whole like negging thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I do remember that. And I do remember thinking like, you know, that I can see how that works if done correctly, but I can also see you know, people going up to like a pretty girl saying something really mean and her just being like,
yeah, what the fuck?
Fuck out of here. Uh-huh. Like, you know, but I think for those guys, it's a numbers game. It's like, it's not about trying to bet every single girl that you hit on. It's like a percentage.
Right.
You know, you're mm-hmm. like, maybe you find a girl who's so insecure that, you know, negging her actually, you know, makes her like you. I don't know. It's filthy. It really kind of churns my stomach, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, the negging. All right, well, Glenn, I think you got to run to the next interview. We really appreciate the time. AP Bio on Peacock, streaming now. We're huge fans. I also just had I was going to say your name, Glenn, is just, I don't know why you didn't do Dennis. I know why you didn't do Dennis. Or I know why you didn't do Glenn, but it seems like a cop-out because everyone else used their real name. But we'll let you off the hook on that one.
Yeah, no, it was a cop out. I didn't want to be the character.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll talk about that next time we have you on. So, thank you, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right,
see you, man. See ya.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
That interview with Glenn Howerton is brought to you by our great friends at Norton 360. Before you get your gaming on, you should know that hackers might be attacking your devices with malware and taking over your webcam. They're likely interested in obtaining your user account credentials, like your username and password. They might have hacked into me and my darling Jake's computers tonight to try to steal our front row tickets to the Heat game. If they gain access to our account, they can steal our inventory. If they hack in to your gaming account, they can steal your entire account, take it over. All those items that you've collected during gameplay, like weapons, cosmetics, skins, virtual currency, can be sold for real money on various websites. Don't let today's cyber threats bring upon a real-life boss fight. You need Norton 360 for gamers. Security for your PC and devices that block cyber threats. You get a VPN for your online privacy, dark web monitoring for your gamer tags, and more, all with fewer notifications. No one can stop all cybercrime, but Norton 360 for gamers can help level up your protection. Get Norton 360 for gamers at norton.com/gamers. You can save 20% on your first year by using promo code PMT. That's norton.com/gamers. Promo code PMT. You're going to get 20% off your first year with Norton.
Okay, let's finish up. We have Bigger Than Ben Part 3. What is it called? The bigger comeback?
Biggest than Ben.
No, the biggest comeback or something?
Biggest than Ben.
I'm sad. This is ending. I'm sad. I really wanted to get more episodes. I wanted to just be a daily vlog. It started with Ben getting everyone who still likes him, which is pretty much his coaches and that doctor, to say that he is the biggest competitor they've ever seen, the greatest competitor they've ever seen, the most competitive guy they've ever seen. Has there ever been a superstar athlete, a quarterback that's won a Super Bowl, a point guard or, you know, power forward that's won a title, an NBA title, a pitcher that won the Cy Young, who everyone in their life didn't say he's the most competitive guy? I would just once want to see, like, the MVP of the NFL and everyone be like, yeah, you know what? Like, I was playing Monopoly with him and he didn't really care.
He's just chill. Yeah. Just kind of a normal dude that you'd like to catch a cool hang with. Big Ben also had his doctor not only say he's the most competitive person I've ever met, but his doctor said, you know, I get asked all the time, if I were to be being a doctor for other players going up against Big Ben, would I root for Big Ben? Absolutely, I would. How often do you think a doctor gets asked, hey, if you weren't treating
all
this guy and you were treating other players who were playing football against him, who would you root for?
Yeah,
I feel like Big Ben just took these cameras with him. I think he took like a very hands-on approach to this documentary, as he does in many facets of his life.
Oh, yeah.
And he just sat behind the camera being like, who do you think is the most competitive person that you've ever met in your life? Just staring
throat
at him.
Slash. Yeah. I just I want to do like a comprehensive list. I want to get a list of the most competitive people ever, as said by their wife and their best friend. Yeah. Their childhood best friend.
I think everybody would just say Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, if you ask me, Ben Roethlisberger.
Like, I was just watching it being like, Tom Brady's got a documentary coming out next year. There's going to be an entire episode about exactly this. We just watched The Last Dance.
Yeah, actually,
Michael Jordan's the most competitive person ever.
I would say time. Tom versus time. Time is probably more competitive.
Yeah.
Never lost.
Time keeps on ticking.
This was really just a Ken Burns 7-part series about shaving.
Yeah, it was all about his beard. A little football, but pretty much just the beard.
Yeah.
And the craziest part was, he got his beard shaved, but he just got it trimmed, and then his wife was like, Ben, the dogs won't even notice you. Like, well, he still looks exactly the same. He just doesn't look as, like, he looks like he just got dropped off for Naked and Afraid. He hasn't been on Naked and Afraid for a week.
Right, and Ben's a guy that would come home with a different medical device on a different part of his body every single week. So, like, having a beard that's 3 inches shorter is actually the most normal that he's looked.
Yes.
Coming home from a week away. Usually they're like, Ben, who is this man, this 260-pound man in a wheelchair crying?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think they'll be able to figure out that it's just you, Ben. I don't think he's ever going to retire.
I don't think he
doesn't seem like a guy that knows at all what he'll do if he's not playing football.
I think he will retire, but much like Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights, he's going to have to retire and pretend that he's paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to have to retire straight to a wheelchair. And everyone's like, Ben, you aren't paralyzed.
Yeah.
He's like, no, that's why I had to walk away from football. Well, sorry, had to wheel away from football.
I had to roll downhill away from football. We didn't talk about this last time, but it reminds me of the rehab scene that they had in the pool in last week's episode.
Yeah.
When he was doing like 5-pound little like elbow raises with this pool weight. And it's like, Ben, you have an upper body injury. There's absolutely no reason for you to be doing your rehab in a swimming pool.
Oh,
besides the fact he was probably just hot. And you know what it was? He probably saw like clips of Ryan Shazier regaining his ability to walk in a pool. And he's like, I want to do that. That's what rehab is.
I want a spinal injury. The only other note I had, in classic Ben, there was a scene where he was I think he was out behind his house throwing footballs around, and he's with the strength and conditioning coach, and they were talking about how, like, hey, your spiral, your spin rate, it's all pretty much back. And he said something like, yeah, you know, my arm just totally feels normal. And then he caught himself and was like, well, I mean, it like pops every now and then and like clicks out. Like, he almost said that he was healthy, and then he caught himself like, wait, hold on. I just want everyone to know I'm still dealing with stuff here.
It would be a great prank if the Steelers doctor told Ben he had a serious, serious injury that didn't exist whatsoever, and then made his own documentary about Ben Roethlisberger's recovery from a fake injury that he doesn't know isn't a real thing.
We've never seen someone get injured like this, and we've never seen someone rehab so quickly.
You could tell Ben Roethlisberger, like, Ben, I've got some bad news. Your leg got broken off beneath the knee, but the good news is it's going to regenerate like a salamander's tail.
Yeah.
And then they
drink some NyQuil.
They just show Ben, like, week after week, they just show him, like, pictures of his leg. They're like, look, it's coming in nicely here. Yeah. He's like, yeah, you're right, my leg is coming in
nicely. Yeah, and then he sits in front of his doctor. He's like, I feel like I have my whole leg back, but it doesn't feel like my whole leg's back. It's like a half a leg.
It's obviously like a ghost leg.
Yeah,
it's a little bit different, but, you know, it looks... I do
battling.
I like how they brought advanced analytics into his recovery with a spin rate.
Mm-hmm.
Ben definitely thought when there was, like... Would they put, like, a sensor in the ball?
Yeah.
He was either thought it was magic. He probably thought when they said there's a chip in the ball, he's like, there's Tostitos in there? Like, can I eat the
What's
football?
What's going on here? A microchip? All right, so that was bigger than Ben. Sad. We need more episodes. I want Big Ben to play, but now we know that if he ever gets injured again, we'll at least get another documentary out.
Oh, yeah. Big Ben, so. Bigger than Ben part two.
Yes. All right.
Two Ben, two Furious.
That is our show. Everyone go download the Barstool Sportsbook app. Oh, Firefest.
Firefest of the week. Billy thought up a Firefest and everything. So
Firefest, I forgot my Firefest.
Huh.
I forgot about Firefest.
Interesting. Billy, do you have one?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Firefest is we've had to deal with Billy all week, who told us that on Tuesday he has to focus on his school, which we're like, cool, Billy. And then we found out today that focusing on his school was just not doing the sheet for us.
Anyway, my Firefest of the week was on Sunday night after we recorded the show. I went to go get my car to drive home, and the guy at the garage wouldn't let me out because my monthly payment had expired, but since it was too late, he couldn't renew it for me, so I had to wait there for 30 minutes to 45 minutes, and then got home really late next morning, missed my class.
Mm. That's kind of cool, though. You're the badass. Wait, was that your first class of the semester?
Yep.
Well, that's just syllabus day.
Yeah, you don't need to be there for
that.
Professor was like, bad luck.
Yeah.
No, it's just syllabus day. Don't worry about that.
Hank, Firefest, anything?
Yeah, so I, for like my Apple TV, and like I have a smart TV in my bedroom and stuff, and in my living room, actually, no big deal. So I guess three places. I use Rhea, my girlfriend's family's cable login.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though I pay for cable, I don't know like what my like email and like password is. I don't think I ever set one up.
Yeah.
And they changed their password, but like the new password they told us just doesn't work. So I've just been like out of
TV. Are you making this up as you go along right now?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a problem. It's one of those things where I just sit there and I'm like, I pay for cable.
Right.
But I can't watch this game right now.
And like, you also feel like kind of an asshole and reaching out over and over again, be like, hey, can I get your login information?
Correct.
Someone who's not my in-laws yet?
Right, because I asked and they're like, send it back. And then I was like, Rhea, I don't think that, like, can you ask again? She was like, no. Like,
yeah.
Don't we have cable? I was like, well, yeah, we do.
I agree, Hank.
But I don't know how to get in online. I don't know.
I've been going through the same thing because I switched my cable provider 5 months ago, And so even when I try to watch like NFL Network on my phone or Fox Sports or something like that on my phone, it asks me for my new login. And I'm like, I don't know. I gave you my Verizon one 2 years ago, and I have no idea even how to track that down now. That is tough. You basically can't watch television anymore.
Right.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thank you.
Brutal.
My Fire Fest is that Dave and Buster's might be going bankrupt.
Yeah.
That's more of a Fire Fest for the guy that...
that's for us too.
Just yeah, I
tweeted Jeff Bezos today to save it, so we'll see how that works. I'll keep you guys updated.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos, E. Stanley Kroenke, anyone really that has more than it can't be more than what, like $5 million,
or like 10 million tickets.
Yeah. Oh, here's what you do. Chuck E. Cheese filed for bankruptcy, and right now they have a room. Did you read about their vault?
No.
So they filed for bankruptcy. They have a room right now that has like 9 billion. Tickets, because they just have tickets that continually print out like it's a mint, and they had to ask a bankruptcy court if they could shred these tickets, because you can't have all these tickets going into circulation. It throws off the entire economy of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Why don't you use every ticket in the ticket room to purchase and bail out Dave and Buster's?
I think you just found the solution to all of our problems.
I think we got it.
All of life's problems. Boom. Is the Tour de France going on right now?
I have no idea.
Like, what's going on?
I just realized I'm in debt to Cox Cable.
What?
I moved, and I never canceled my Cox.
Yeah. Too many Cox.
When did you move?
From the bunker.
Oh. Mm. Well, that wasn't smart. What do you got, Jake?
Tour de France is ongoing.
Who's winning? Do we have an American?
Who cares? I'm sorry I even asked.
Mike Francesa, who cares? Mm-hmm. Or actually, who
for
cares?
For about a half a second, thing. I thought you said that Mike Francesa was leading the Tour de France right now. And
Mike Francesa, who
becomes
cares?
Very excited.
How slow would the rest of the competitors have to go for Mike Francesa to win the Tour de France?
I think if you gave him
they
a car.
Do it three times.
How old is he? Like 75?
Sure.
Probably they drives probably pretty slow. If you gave him a car, he could win.
And they could do it. They could go there, back, and then do it again.
I think maybe even more.
There's only three more stages after tonight.
Oh, wow. Wow, it's heating up. This is what we're quickly finding out. When we said that there's going to be so many sports coming this fall, it's going to be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
What we failed to remember is that we only care about football when football's on.
That's true.
Because like the U.S. Open this weekend, when we're like, oh my God, Sunday the U.S. Open. If Brooks was in, it would feel a little different.
Correct.
But what do you think I'm going to be watching on Sunday?
That,
football.
That Game 6 Nuggets Clippers on Sunday.
Yeah, 1:00. That fucking U.S. Mm-hmm. Open tennis.
No.
Football.
That was the break between 4 o'clock and Sunday night. Fifth set, perfect timing.
Lakers.
There was no football on
Lakers Nuggets
set.
Sunday, football.
Right.
Oh, it's
this
football.
This Sunday.
Yeah,
yeah,
football.
Is it at night?
Doesn't sure, matter. Who it's, cares?
Yeah.
It literally couldn't, it doesn't exist. It's game crazy. Is not even being played. This is, all right, pre-prediction, LeBron's going to stink it up in that game so that everyone forgets.
That's
but
what
I won't.
That's what he does in game one.
I won't.
Game one.
No, game one's Friday night.
There you go. Here's my prediction for game one. Ready? Tonight, bet the Nuggets. Every other game, bet the Lakers.
Yep. All right, that's our show. Download the Sportsbook app. We'll be in Philly. We'll see you on Sunday. Tune in. The live stream is going to be electric. And let's do a number.
I've got 21 today.
18.
Let's go 21.
72.
63.
17.
72.
21, 21, 21,
72.
21.
Oh, I saw
Australia
72.
Lost a war with emus.
7.
Just lucky number 7?
7.
That's good luck. That's good luck going into this weekend.
Good luck, Billy.
Hell yeah. 7. All love right. You guys.
Talking away. Well, I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today's another day to find you shying away. Well, I'll be coming for your love, okay? I'm on the center. to remember that he's shying away. Well, I'll be coming for you anyway. Take on.